Okay, we're now continuing in the fascinating Maseches Chagiga. We're on Daf Gimel Amud Beis. We are at the words Va'af Hu. We're discussing all of the fascinating drushos that Reb Elazar ben Azariah made. Reb Elazar ben Azariah, when he was darshaning that Shabbos, when it was his turn as the 17-year-old Rosh Yeshiva. So we're up to another drusha, fascinating drusha of Reb Elazar ben Azariah on the top line. Va'af Hu Pasuk V'darsh. Reb Elazar ben Azariah also darshaned. Pasuk says, Divrei Chachamim Kidorvonos Uchimasmiros Nituim Balei Asupos Nitnu Meiroa Echad. So we're going to explain what each of these words in the Pasuk mean. Lama Nimshlu Divrei Torah L'Darvan. Why are the words of Torah compared to like a nail, like a hammer? Lomer L'cha, to tell you, Mad Darvan Zeh Mechavin Esapar, not a nail, it's a goad that sort of keeps an animal facing in the right direction. So it's to tell you, Lomer L'cha, Mad Darvan Zeh Mechavin Esapar L'Tlameha, just like this Darvan keeps a cow going in the right direction, going in the furrow where it's supposed to be working, lahotzi chayim li'olam, in order to be able to produce life for the world, because by the cow plowing properly, it will be able to grow things in the field, and that will give sustenance to people. So af divrei Torah, mechavnes lamdein midarke misa l'darke chayim, so too divrei Torah gear a person from the ways of death to the ways of life, and gear a person toward olam haba. So you might say that if this Darvan is movable and doesn't stay in its place, Divrei Torah won't stay in one place either, and can be moved and can be and sometimes are irrelevant. No, that's right, Tamalomar mis masmeros. That's why the Pasuk says masmeros, that just like a nail that's nailed into something is permanent, so imas marzeh chaser v'lo yaser. So to the Divrei Torah is permanent. Ask the Gemara. Well, imas marzeh chaser v'lo yaser. A nail is when you nail it into something, it takes away from the item that you're nailing it into. After Divrei Torah chaserin v'lo yaserin, should we say the same thing about Torah, that it only takes something away and you can't be mechadesh anything in it? Tamalomar nituim. So that's why we call it also like a planting. Manatiyazu paravrava. Just like when you plant something, it continues to grow. After Divrei Torah, part of Rav, and Divrei Torah also continue to grow. So it's describing different qualities of Torah by comparing it to three different things. It compares Torah to a goad because it brings life to the world. It compares Torah to a nail because it applies everywhere. And it compares Divrei Torah to a planting because it constantly grows. And I guess that will be main point number one, that Torah guides us and provides life. Like a goad, Torah is not something that's ever irrelevant. It's not movable like a nail, and Torah is something that grows after it's planted, like a natia, like a plant. That which he says, Balei Asupos, the Gemara goes on, when it says Balei Asupos, that's a reference, Eilu Talmidei Chacham Shiyoshven Asufos Asufos Va'uskin B'Torah. That's a reference to Talmidei Chachamim who gather together and learn Torah. Halalu Metamin V'Halalu Metarin. These guys are Metame and these guys say Tahar. Halalu Om Osrin V'Halalu Matirin. Some of the rabbis will say something's Aser, others will say it's Mutter. Halalu Poslin V'Halalu Machshirin. Some will say something is Posel, some will say something is Kosher. Shema Yomer Heich. Shemer Yomer Adam, Heich Ani Lamed Torah Me'ata. Someone might say, well, if everything's a machlokas and there are always guys arguing about everything, how am I ever supposed to learn Torah? How do I know what's right? Maybe I'm learning everything wrong. Tamalomar, that's why the Pasuk says, Kulam Nitnu Meroa Echad, that they're all given from the same shepherd. Kel Echad Nisanan. One God has given all of the Torah, and therefore Parnas Echad Amran. It was all set over by one intermediary. Moshe Rabbeinu brought down the entire Torah. Mipi Adon Kolamasim Baruch Hu. It all comes from Hashem. D'chsiv Vayidaber Elokim is Kol Hadvar Me'ile. God spoke all of these words. Afata Oz Asei Oznecha Kapar Cheses. So we should make our ears like a funnel, where it's wide at the top and narrow at the bottom. Kana L'cha Lev Maven L'Shmoa Es Divrei Metamim Es Divrei Metarim. And we should try to analyze and listen carefully to the opinions of those who say Tameh, and to the opinions of those who say Tohar, as Divrei Osun, as Divrei Matirin, to those who say Yasser, and to those who say Mutter, as Divrei Poslin, as Divrei Machshirin, to those who say Pasul, and to those who say Kosher. And when we know who's correct, we'll be able to establish the halacha in one direction or the other, but we have to hear all of them. So that's all of the drashos that they heard from Elazar ben Azariah in the Beis Medrash, and the Talmidim were telling it all to Rabbi Yeshua, as we started in the last year, that they were telling it all over to Rabbi Yeshua. Velashna ze amar lem, Rabbi Shua says to his Talmidim, Ein dar yasom sher Elazar ben Azariah shari b'tocho. There is no orphaned generation that has Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah in it. Unbelievable that you have such amazing teachings from Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Main point number two, there are many machlokos, but the entire Torah is given from by one God, and we have to learn, we have to listen to all sides of all issues and ultimately decide the halacha. So again, there are many machlokos in Torah, but all of Torah is given by one God. We have to hear all sides and decide what's the proper path la halacha. So the Gemara is going to explain the whole brisa now. Why does it originally, when they asked him what chiddush was in the Beis Medrash, when Rabbi Yeshua asked his talmidim what chiddush was in the Beis Medrash, did they say, "Well, will your talmidim? We want to hear from you." They could have just said right away, "What Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah darshin? Why do they have to try to evade, you know, with the teachings of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah?" So the Gemara says they were afraid to tell the Mishum Maisa Shahaya because there was a story that happened that they thought it wouldn't resonate well with Rabbi Yeshua. D'tanya, because the Brisa tells us Maisa Rabbi Yosi ben Dormaskis Shahalach lahakpil pnei Rabbi Elazar belod. One time Rabbi Yosi ben Dormaskis went to go greet Rabbi Eliezer in Lod, in the town of Lod on Yom Tov. Amar lo, so Rabbi Elazar said to him, Ma chiddush haya bebeis hamedrash hayom? What was the chiddush in the Beis Medrash today? Amar lei nimnu v'gamru, they paskind like the majority opinion that Amon u'Moav, that Jews who live amongst Amon u'Moav and they're allowed to work where they live, ma'asrin ma'iser ani bashvius, have to take whatever from whatever grows in their fields. They have to take ma'iser ani even during the Shemitah year. And Rabbi Elazar was not happy with that Rabbi Yossi said that this was voted on. Nimnu v'gamru means it was voted on, and as if they were the ones that came up with this idea, when really this is much earlier from the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. So Rabbi Elazar says, Yossi, pshot yadecha v'kabel einecha, you should become blinded. Pashat yada v'kibel einav, and in fact he did become blind. Bacha Rabbi Elazar started crying that Rabbi Yossi was punished on his account, that because he cursed him, he got so upset that he said this curse to him, that it actually came true. Varmer, and he said, Sod Hashem li rea v'vrisa lahodiyam. Since God gives secrets to those who fear him, so he shouldn't have gotten punished, meaning he got the correct halacha. Amar lo, so he said to Rabbi Yossi, Lechem or lehem, go tell the Chum in the Beis Medrash, Al tachushu l'minyanchem, that they shouldn't be choshesh to your vote, that you made this takana, maybe it wasn't correct. So kach mikublani Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, sheshama mirabo v'rabbi mirabo, tell the rabbis not to worry that maybe you got something incorrect, because you don't have to have any such worries. It's a tradition already that goes all the way back, halach l'moshe m'sinai, that Amon u'Moav do take Maisarani. People who live in the areas of Amon u'Moav do have to take Maisarani during the Shemitah year. So main point number three, Rabbi Elazar got upset because he thought that Amon u'Moav were giving Maisarani during Shemitah was a chiddush, but really it wasn't a chiddush. It was halacha l'moshe m'sinai, so it wasn't a chiddush at all. So the Gemara explains what this takana that the Braisa was talking about was. Matam, why did they vote and make this takana in the Beis Medrash? Harbe krachim kafshu alim Mitzrayim v'lo kafshim alim Bavel, because there were a lot of villages that were captured by the Jewish people when they left Mitzrayim and went into Eretz Yisrael, but when the Jewish people came back after the Churban of the first Beis HaMikdash, when they came back to build the second Beis HaMikdash, there were a lot of little areas in Eretz Yisrael that they did not actually conquer the second time around. So, and the original Kedusha from the days of Yeshua was a Kedusha that was Chal in the days of Yeshua. Israel became holy in all the areas Yeshua conquered, but that Kedusha is not permanent. And after the first, the Churban of the first Beis HaMikdash, that Kedusha was gone. So Vihinichum, and the people who came back after the, you know, to build the second Beis HaMikdash didn't do anything with that land. They didn't take it. Kedesh Yismuch Aleim Aniyim B'Shvius, and they did that on purpose so that during the Shemitah year, poor people would be able to benefit from that land. Places that had Kedusha, you're not allowed to plant during Shemitah, so there may not be enough to give to all the poor people. But places that didn't have Kedusha, that they didn't re-sanctify, would be able to be planted, and you'd be able to give Maisarani to the poor people from there. Tana la'achash and yashve daito. After Rabbi Lazar calmed down, Amar yihiratzon shiachzru ena Yossi l'mekaman v'chazru. He said a tefillah that Rabbi Yossi's eyes should go back and he should be able to see again. And sure enough, he was able to see again. So we learned in the so period. That's the end of that story. So that's why they were afraid to tell Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah. They were afraid to tell Rabbi Lazar about chidushim that were said in the Beis Medrash, because Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah had a little bit of a history of. I'm sorry, they were afraid to tell Rabbi Shua about Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah's chiddush in the Beis Medrash, because they were afraid to get involved in this discussion. So that's why they didn't want to tell him. So the Gemara now says, we learned in the Mishnah that a shota is pater, someone who's deranged is pater from re'iyah. So the Gemara is going to explain who exactly is called a shota. Actually, main point number four before we get to that is kedusha rishona. The kedusha from the days of Yeshua was a meaningful kedusha, but we didn't re-sanctify the land after coming back after Galus Bavel. So it's not kitchala asud lavo. Did not stay kadosh after Galus Bavel. Tan Rabbanim, Ezu Shota. The Bryce says, whenever we talk about a Shota, a deranged person who's pater from mitzvos and doesn't get punished for averos and can't make kinyanim and can't sell things, who is a Shota? What's the definition of a Shota? So the Bryce says, Hayotze Yechidi Balaila, let's say a person who goes to abandoned areas at night all alone, Valan Bebes Akvaro, someone who sleeps in the cemetery, Vamakareas Ksuso, he tears his clothing, Itmar. Rav Huna Amar Achiu Kulan Bevasachas. Rav Huna says only if a guy does all three of those crazy things is he actually considered a shota. Rav Yochan Amar Afilu Ba'achas Man. Even if he does any one of those crazy things, he's considered a shota. Hechidami, what would be a case that we know that someone is a shota? Ida Avilu Darach Shtos. If he does things in a way that deranged people do, then Afilu B'Chadinami. Then obviously, even if he does one of those things and he does it in a deranged way, it's obvious that he's a shota. But if he's not doing them in a crazy way, then I feel kulanami lo. If he has some sort of reason to do all of these things, then even if he does all three of them, he shouldn't be considered a shota. So the Gemara explains, li'olam de'kavadu darach shtos. Now we're talking about someone who does it in a deranged way. Va'alan b'veis hakvaros, and someone who sleeps in the veis hakvaros, emor kadesh tishrol av ruach tumah hu de'kavad. But maybe he's doing it so that he can have a ruach tumah. He's doing it on purpose that there could be the shade and the tumah. Va'yotzi yichidi balayla, emor gedar finimach day. And maybe when he goes out alone at night, maybe it's because he's very hot and he wants to go to a cool place. Maybe when he tears his clothing, maybe he has all sorts of different imagination and whatever. But once he does all three of those things, then we treat it like an animal that has gored an ox, a donkey, and a camel, where we assume that it's just a dangerous animal. Once you do all three of these crazy things, we assume a person is just a crazy person. So main point number five, a machlokas, whether a shota goes out alone at night, sleeps in the Beis HaKvaros and tears his clothing, is only someone who does all three of those things, or even if he does just one of those things. So that is main point number five. Be'ez Hashem, we will pick up next time at Avdal and Amud Aleph.